What if patients who needed new organs didn't have to wait for their turn to come up on the organ donation list? Researchers are working to make that a reality. Dr. Zane Kalpi at the U of A Medical School is one of them. He's a cardiothoracic surgeon, among many other things there, and is trying to stop people from dying while waiting for a new heart or lung.
If you have patients who have, say, had a heart attack or are in lung failure from chronic disease, then it's about trying to use novel ways or new ways to try to salvage them. But at the same time, when you have an organ, when the patient really needs a heart transplant or a lung transplant, could we recondition organs which are marginal for improving the donor shortages? And then the last thing would be, you know, the third category would be if we could take your stem cells and grow you a new organ.
How exactly do you do that?
You can do it in three ways. The first way would really, you can take either those hearts and lungs, which you couldn't recondition properly. You would be able to take out all those cells, but just leave the skeleton of the organ. But the secret of that is, if you do that, are you just left with just a lump of a skeleton which has no architecture or doesn't even look like a heart or a lung? So we've devised new ways to try to decellularize, which is removing all the cells, in a much more gentle way with newer ideas and technologies, and then providing a skeleton to allow you to reseed it with your own stem cells. We're building a bioreactor which is capable to do this in three dimensions. Instead of growing it on a petri dish, which is fairly static, we're building it in an incubator, which has got a total artificial heart spliced in to give it pressures that you and I see every day, so the cells can see stretch and can see the shear forces necessary to simulate microgravity, which is what you would find in space as well as in the womb.
It seems like technology would play a pretty significant role in what you're trying to do here.
It does. And I mean, technology is fascinating, but it's also how you use it. And when you have the whole world of 3D printing coming along, the resolution of the 3D printers hasn't really come to building the 3D microenvironment with utmost perfection. So the idea of building the skeleton is great, but then guess what? If you build it and you have a perfect 3D bioprinter, you still have to cook it outside of the body, and for that you need a bioreactor that makes physiological sense in order for it to become something that you can implant into a patient or transplant into a patient.
Do you think that it's conceivable that at some point down the road, 3D printers will be able to be used to produce at least sort of the building block for an organ that would then have to go and be worked on to make it applicable to put it inside a human body?
Absolutely. It's already been done. So two of my colleagues, one is at Harvard, he's already been able to print out a kidney. And the other chap who's in Wake Forest, and he's already implanted a bladder, which he bioprinted.
What kind of ethical issues do you think that would raise? I mean, if you're able to just sort of produce a human organ on a printer, it seems like that would bring up some ethical questions as well.
On the contrary, it'll probably get rid of the black market in organs. And, you know, I really want to focus on pediatric transplantation because it's such an underserved population. And, you know, trying to find a heart for a child is crushing when you can't. It's not perfect. So I think that developing these organs or printing these organs, which have functional integrity with the view to transplanting them, may actually have a positive ethical benefit with appropriate regulation. It really is a remarkable force that could change the paradigm of where we're moving.
Dr. Zane Kalpi with the University of Arizona Medical School. He'll be giving a talk about his work on Wednesday in Phoenix as part of the school's MiniMed 2.0 series.